for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I take them words back. Those are young ladies. Amen. Man, they grow up so fast. I'm telling you, we thank God for them. Philippians chapter 3. You were right, Pastor Angela. Those are young adults. They're moving young adults. You blink your eyes, and they're growing up. Amen. That means we all are getting older. Amen. But wiser, bolder, and stronger. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Every day. Amen. Are you at the book of Philippians or the epistle of Philippians? Chapter 3, if you find your place to Ephesians, it's the book right next door to it. But Ephesians chapter 3, amen. When you get to chapter 3, please go down with me to verse 7. Amen. Are you there? Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to read, and please follow along with me. I'm going to read through verse 11. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This is Paul speaking. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Look at verse 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. You see this verse 10 again. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Can we get an amen? Amen. Today I want to speak from the subject of the power of his resurrection. Amen. Because we all must understand the power, and this is what the Apostle Paul here was testifying about. He was testifying, and what's so neat about Paul lived a privileged life. If we know this, you could read back up in 3, 1, and 6. You understand that Paul lived a privileged life, but he understood more and more that there was more life in Jesus, and he was willing to lose everything that he had gained. Amen. You know what I'm saying? That he had gained himself to win Christ. And Paul said, I want to know him. You hear that? Say, I want to know him. See, if you're going to know the power of his resurrection, you first got to know him. So that must be a declaration out of our hearts. If we want to know the power of his resurrection, that first of all, I got to know him. Amen. Now, I want you to say three things real quick to you, and then we're going to go to the scriptures. The first thing is that when we understand the power of his resurrection, I want you to understand there's three things that you get with the power of his resurrection. Somebody say abundant life. That's the first thing you get is abundant life. Say abundant life. See, Paul had life, but he didn't have life more abundantly. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have the Zoe kind of life. He didn't have the life that came from God, amen, through his son, Jesus Christ. So Paul said, I count it all loss, or I count it all dung for the excellence of the knowledge of knowing him, that I may know him, amen, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and even be made conformable even unto his death. Now, it's interesting here. Look at verse 11. He says, if by any means I might attain unto what? The resurrection of the dead. You hear that? So we see resurrection twice here. He says, I want to know the power of his resurrection that I may attain unto what? The resurrection of the dead. Amen. Somebody said there's going to be another resurrection. So you see, based on how you understand the power of the first resurrection will have everything to do in what resurrection you're going to be in at the end time. Amen. Somebody said there's another resurrection. Amen. There's another resurrection come. See, he done got resurrected. Amen. See, you get resurrected on the front end and also on the back end. Amen. Praise God. So Paul is experiencing, and I want you to understand, this is one of the most important times of the year for us that as Christians. See, this is the time that we celebrate our prophet, our priest, our king, our Lord, and our Savior, amen. We celebrate his resurrection, that he got up again, amen. And I want you to know this. This is what separates us from all other religions, amen. Christians, amen. This is what separates us from everything. If you were to go to Israel right now, and you go look at the tomb in which they say that he was in, I'm here to tell you that tomb is empty, amen. But you can go to the leaders, the prophets of every other religion, amen. I guarantee you they're still in that tomb, amen. But what I'm saying unto you, that we got to get this thing down right here. You got to know, amen, that he rose again, amen. Because if you can understand that he rose again, then you can receive the power of his resurrection. Now, what was interesting, Pastor Angela, as I was studying and preparing myself, you know, one of the requirements of being an apostle in the early church was this. You remember when Judas was the one that, of course, you know, he turned on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's the one turned him over for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. He betrayed him. Amen. And Jesus already knew the one that was going to betray him, did he not? And the scripture speaks of this. But what's interesting about this, when they replaced the disciple, when you know, they got together and said, we're going to replace the disciple. One of the requirements was that there had to be someone who had witnessed the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? The early apostles, all of them, they all witnessed. They could give a firsthand account, amen, of the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what they said, if we're going to add another one, the one that we got to add, they had to know, they had to be and give a firsthand account, amen, about him. And so this is why we see in the scriptures of why they talk about, they you know, the, how the gospel was spread abroad. You see Peter standing up and Peter said, this is that, amen. And Peter began to declare and talk about Jesus was the one that died and rose again, amen. And so we see the apostles all through the New Testament declaring, amen, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what I'm saying unto you today, we as Christians, and if you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're here, you say, Pastor, I'm not saved, I don't know Jesus, but I look like y'all excited about him, amen. Look like y'all are crazy about him. And this is what Paul was saying. Paul said, I've lived a privileged life. Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, amen, that he had sat at the feet of God, the meal, some of the best teachers, the best living, the best eating, I believe the best riding. He had the best all, but he says, I count all of that dung for the excellence, because I want to know him. But not only do I want to know him, but I want to know the power of his resurrection. And what I'm saying today is that all of us, we should desire to experience the power of the resurrection. Now, I said unto you earlier that you got to be convinced of this, that he got up. Amen. You got to be convinced that he's no longer in that tomb. Amen. To receive him, to know him. Amen. For yourself, and to understand the power of his resurrection. You got to know that he got up. Now, this word resurrection is an interesting word. It's the word, it says, a standing up again. Amen. A standing up again. So it's something that was laid down, but it's standing up again. Amen. Do you have some areas in your life that need to get back up again? Amen. So some, we know there's some areas that need to stay dead, but there are some things and places in Christ that need to be risen up in our life. And we get this through the power of the resurrection. Not only does this resurrection mean a standing up again, it also means a resurrection from death. Or to be raised to life again. This is what the resurrection is all about. And Paul said, I just didn't want to know the resurrection, but I want to know the power of his resurrection. Amen. The dunamis power of his resurrection. And that's what all of us as Christians, we want to experience this. But first of all, we got to know him so that we can, amen, grow in him and experience him and come to this place and say, I know the power of his resurrection. And that power that worked in Jesus Christ is working in my life. Amen. He got me back up again. You hear what I'm saying? I'm living for him now, and it's him. It's the power of the resurrection that's keeping me. Now, I want you to understand that there are some people that were in the Bible days, and they were called the Sadducees. Amen. Somebody say the Sadducees. I told you last week, the Sadducees, they were sad, you see. Amen. They were sad, you see. Yes, sir. They're some sad folks. Let me tell you why they were sad. Because they did not believe in the resurrection. Now, I know you say you need to see this. Look with me. Go over to the gospel according to St. Matthew. We're moving today, amen. All right, we're going to be moving through the scriptures. Matthew chapter 22. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 22. Chapter 22. When you get to chapter 22, please go to verse 23. Amen. I said the gospel according to what, Matthew? Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 22. And we ask you to go what verse? 23. Verse 23. Are you there? It says, the same day came unto him Sadducees. You hear that? Which say that there is no what? Resurrection, and asked him. You hear that? They said there is no resurrection. What I'm saying to you today, you got to know the power of the resurrection, because there's still people living today saying there ain't no resurrection. You hear what I'm saying? They Sadducees. They Sadducees. You see? And then look what they said in verse 24. They're saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, have no children. Now they're trying to trick Jesus up. You hear what I'm saying? Look what they said. Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, have no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up a seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. And first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left a wife unto his brother. You see what's happening here? They're trying to put him into a situation. He says, now Moses said. Now they said, Master, Moses said. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ said, I am that I am. Amen. What did Moses say? See, Moses was the one that gave people a bill of divorcement. The Bible says it was not even God's heart or desire for people to get divorced. But because the people wanted that, the Bible says Abraham allowed them to write a bill of divorcement. Amen. But it was not God's problem. So Moses did a whole lot for the people that God never desired to happen. So Moses said, this is what it said. Moses said, if a man and a wife, if they're married, and if the man dies and they don't have any children, well, she can be given to his brother. And his brother can have children on behalf. Now, I know we ain't going down for anything like that. You know what I'm saying? It don't even make any sense. We're out of the you know. And so that's what Moses told them to do. That's what they said. And so it ended up. So now they give a story and said, all right, well, there was a situation where they had seven brothers and every one of them died. And they couldn't, none of them, you know, she done been with all seven of them and nobody produced a child. And then they said, then she died. And in the end, it asks this, well, who's she going to be married to when they get to heaven? Amen. When we have the second resurrection, when they get to heaven. Look how Jesus responded to this. It goes down here, verse 28. It says, therefore, look at 27. It says, and last of all, the woman died also. She done had seven husbands here, all brothers. It says, therefore, in the resurrections, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do error, not knowing the scriptures, what? Nor the power of God. You hear what he said? He said, you're error already, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Look how he answers this. He says, for in the resurrection, somebody say the resurrection. See, this is the second resurrection. This is when we all come and we resurrected. He said that there's going to be the resurrection of the dead, I mean of the just, and there's going to be the resurrection of the unjust. Amen. Everybody going to raise up again. Amen. But you got to understand, if you got to know the power of the first resurrection, if you want to raise up with the just. Oh, my God. You hear this? Yeah. Oh, that's going to be another resurrection. Amen. And so he says here, he says, verse 30, for in the resurrection there are neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as what? Angels of God in heaven. Now, this is a double dabble do you here. I'm talking about concerning the Sadducees. You got to understand the Sadducees, not only did they not believe in the resurrection, they didn't believe in angels. So they got slapped twice. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And he said, you're erring in this thing. I know what you're saying. Pastor, what you talking about here? Acts 23:8. You don't need to turn though. This is what it says. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both of them. Now, isn't it the Pharisees believed in the resurrection? They believed in the angels and they believed in the spirit. Amen. They believed, but the Sadducees did not believe in any of that. And Jesus Christ dealt with them. Verse 31, he says, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but what? The God of the living. Oh, my God. He said, man, Jesus said, have you not read? You error in this thing. So he said there's not going to be any marrying. He said when we all come, we're going to be like angels. We're going to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, all your habits, your hurts, your hangups, amen, the unforgive, all that stuff. I'm telling you, you're not going to have to deal with it anymore. Amen. Because we're going to have resurrection life. Amen. The power of his resurrection here. So you must understand that there are some people out there that does not believe that there has been a resurrection. We must understand. We must be like Paul. No matter how high or how low you sit, you must be like Paul. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Because he says, I want to partake, amen, in the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Yes, sir. He wants to partake of that. And he wants to be of the just and not the unjust. Because there's going to be a resurrection of the dead at the end. It's going to be the just and the unjust, and everybody got to give an answer in whom they believe in. But the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you got to believe it on this side if you're going to rule and reign with him in eternity and everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only that, you got to confess it here if you want to have abundant life on this side. Amen. Yeah, he said, he wants you to have more than life. He wants us to have abundant life. Amen. So we see that there are some people that said, no, we don't believe in that. You in Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Amen. Because we need to know that we need to see the account that he got up again. Amen. I like the way the little men come through here, the young boys come through here. They done moved. The stone has been moved. Somebody else can't say he is alive. He has risen. Amen. The tomb is empty. Amen. And it's so good for us to go back and read the account, because you could hear the confidence in, because the people came with an expectancy that he was going to be in that place. Amen. But I'm telling you, they went away from that place knowing that he was alive. Matter of fact, he showed himself, amen, unto the people. Are you at Matthew's Gospel chapter 27? Look at verse 50, if you would, with me. Look at verse 50 here. Now, this is Jesus' death. I'm not going to be able to talk about it all, but we're going to go down and pick up at verse 50 here. You see that? This is when he was on the cross, his death. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. You hear that? See, when we all die, you're going to yield up the ghost. You're going to yield up the spirit. Amen. It's going to come up out of you. Look what he says in verse 51. It says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. You see, they begin to break a piece. This here was the reason why that tore from the top to the bottom, because we knew that it was only the priest, amen, that can go in. Now it has been torn through what Jesus Christ has done. Now each of us that are Christians, amen, that have experienced the power of the resurrection can go in just like the priest went in. You know what I'm saying? In those days, only the priest can go in. But because of what Jesus Christ done for me and you, we can all go in and talk to God for ourselves. Oh, isn't that a blessing? That's a part of the power of the resurrection. There's one thing to have life on the outside, but there's another thing to have life on the inside. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. I can have life on the inside. He's an inside job. I got an inside track to him because of the power of the resurrection. I can talk to him for myself. I can go into the, amen, the Holy of Holies and spend time worshiping him and talking to him about my hurts, my habits, and also my hangups. And he's well able to deliver me. Amen. That's why I got to know him and what? The power of his resurrection. Now look what it goes on to say here, verse 52. Now this is, look, now it says, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the who? Of the who? It says, many bodies of the saints which slept arose. We said that word saints mean holy and pure. We talked weeks ago about how he gave the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Not the ain'ts, the saints. This is about the saints, amen. The Bible says when he come up out of there, man, the Bible said that the graves opened up and the saints walked up out of it. Look what it says in verse 53. It says, and came out of the graves after what? After what? After what? Look, see, if they came out after his resurrection, it's time for you to come out. You know what I'm saying?
Come out wherever you are, amen, and let your light shine for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time for the church to come up out of there, because through the resurrection power of Jesus, we can come up out of the graves that the world made for us, that the devil made for us, that the system made for us. We can come up off the system because he is the resurrection and he is also the life. Oh my God, whatever grave trying to hold you down, amen, if you get the revelation of the power of God and the power of his resurrection, you can come up out of it. You hear what I'm saying? Oh my God, death can't even hold you. See, because he got the victory over the death, and because he got the victory over death, this is how Paul said it. Paul said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Then he says, but thanks be to God, which give me victory through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What you're saying, Pastor, what I'm saying is, through the power of the resurrection, you ain't going to die. You're not even going to see death. Look, when I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be what? Present with the Lord, because of the resurrection power of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So look what it says in verse 53. It says, and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into what? The holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. You know what I'm saying? What you're saying? I'm here to tell you that not only the apostles seen it, but those soldiers that were mocking him and deriding him and picking on him and everything. He showed himself strong. He showed them, man, that he has the power of the resurrection. Amen. So this is what we want to know about. We want to know about the power of his resurrection. Go with me quickly to John chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 11. We're talking about the power of his resurrection. John chapter 11. I'm not going to be before you too much longer here. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Amen. Verse 24. Hallelujah. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to begin at verse 21. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 21. This is when Lazarus died. And now they had made a request for Jesus to come see about Lazarus. Lazarus was had a close relationship with Lazarus, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You got Martha and Mary. This is their brother, Lazarus. And Lazarus was dead, and they requested that Jesus come. Jesus said, well, I go about 2 or 3 days from now. I get on over there. And they got all upset. They got nervous in the service. They said, by now his body stinketh and all of that. But look how Jesus dealt with this thing, because Jesus revealed unto them, look, this is before he went to the cross. Jesus was already telling him he was the resurrection and the power. Look what he says here. John 11, 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give unto thee. That's Martha. You hear that? Look at verse 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You hear what I'm saying? He says, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, now listen to what she said. Now, whatever you ask God, I know it's going to take place. And then Jesus busted a move on. He said, well, he's going to rise again. Now, she said, all right, now she done brought her, you see what I'm saying? She done brought everything. So you can't bring Jesus into your intellect. No. See, that's why Paul said, I got to know him. That's why Paul said, I count all that knowledge, all that education, all that sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, all that I had, I count it all dung, amen, so that for the excellence of the knowledge of what? Of knowing him. Because when you know him, he'll blow your mind. He'll blow whatever you can get up in here. He'll exceed it, amen. He'll go to the second and the third heaven. This is the way Paul said, I like how Paul said, I once knew a man. Paul was talking about himself. Paul said, I knew a man. He said, this man knew all types of things. And he said, this man, this is what he said about this. He says, this man got caught up into what? Paradise. That's what he called it. He called it paradise. And you call paradise. He first started talking about the third heaven, but it was called paradise. That's what he said. And so Paul was talking about himself, how, because they were bragging about everything that they knew of God and what they were doing in God. And Paul didn't want to brag on himself, so Paul got third person. That's how John, and that's how they get third person. I once knew a man. He was talking about himself. He said, I once knew a man. He said, I knew a man that went up to the third heaven. And he got knowledge, amen, that was too high for him. That's what he said. He said, I went up to paradise, amen. And that's what Jesus told the thief on the cross. Today, you're going to be with me where? In paradise. In paradise. Jesus said, you'll be with me today. You ain't got to get no, look. If any of you, look, you could be with him when today. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. What you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying, today you can leave this natural and enter into the supernatural and talk to God and hear what Jesus wants to say unto you. Oh, my God. It's through the power of the resurrection. Through the power of the resurrection. We still here where we at. Let's look at verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. You hear what I'm saying? He said, look, now you're talking about what in the last day. She talking about the resurrection of the dead. But what he's saying, he can stand up again right now because I am the resurrection and the life. What he's saying is you can get back up again right now if the devil has knocked you down. If he looked like he got victory in your life, I'm here to tell you, you can get back up again. Why, Pastor? You got to know the power of his resurrection. Oh, it means to stand back up again. Amen. The devil might knock you down. Look, tell that sucker, take your best shot. Because in the power of the resurrection, I'm going to get back up again. I'm not getting back up in my own strength, my own knowledge, my own intellect. I'm getting back up in him. Oh, my God. That's why you can't count anybody out. You can't count anybody out. I'm here to tell you. You cannot count. Don't count a family member out. Amen. Don't count your brother, your sister out. Don't count your children out. Oh, don't count them out. Because he can raise them up. He can raise them up. Yes, he can. I believe that with all of my heart. So we see here. And look what she says in verse 26. He says, look what he goes on to say in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know what I'm saying? He said, now whoever believes in me, though he was dead, yet he shall live. Look what he goes in verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth. Now he said, now those that are already dead. Now he said, now if he dead and he believes in me, he gonna rise again. But he said, now let me talk to you that's still living. He said, let me break it down to y'all that's still in the land of the living. He says, and whosoever liveth and what believeth in me shall what? Never die. And then he says what? Believeth thou this. What you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, look, yeah, as I said earlier, how Paul said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, man, yes, sir. Oh, grave, where is the victory? See, what I'm saying is you don't even experience death. He said, now, if you live, he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me, who is he? He's the resurrection and the life. Amen. He says, if you believe in me, and see, this is when our loved ones, when they go on to be with the Lord, when they die, that's why a funeral shouldn't be a sad thing. They just made a transition. Amen. They done went into a higher place. Amen. They in a place. Amen. He said, because if you believe it in me here, he said, not only that, he said, you should never die. He says, believe it thou. He asked him the question, do you believe that? And this is what he's asking all of us today. See, if we understand the power of the resurrection, he says, those that live and believe in me, you won't even experience death. Somebody say transition. I'm just going to close my eyes. I don't care what kind of, I don't care. They can do what they want to do with this body because he said, I'm going to get a new body. Yes, sir. He said, I'm going to be caught up. Amen. I'm going to get a new body. Amen. And so we must understand the power of his resurrection. Amen. Please go with me to John, since you're in John chapter 10. You're in the neighborhood, John chapter 10, verse 10. I want you to see this. And we're descending here. I'm not going to be before you. I'm mindful of the time that we have had thus far. John 10 and 10. Are you there? Yes. Look what it says here. It says, look at verse 9. See, these scriptures get here, they say something to you. Yes. Look, Jesus said what? I am the door. Somebody say, he says, I am the door. Look at verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. You hear that? My God. He says, I am the door. And I'm all, look what he says. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. And shall go what? In and out and find what? Pasture. Then look at verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his what? His life for his sheep. Now, I want you to see this very first thing here. It says, the thief cometh not, but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy. That's the DNA of the devil. He comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. If you got any stealing, any killing, any destroying, any of that that's going on in and around you, you better know that that is from the devil. Can I get an amen? Amen. You got to operate. You got to start understanding what's operating around you. Because he says he is the power of the resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection and also the life. Amen. And if he, that's why Paul said, I want to know the power of the resurrection. What he said, he wants to know the power that resurrected him. That raised Jesus Christ back up. And that's the power that we as the saints got to move in this hour and the season and the time that we're living in. I'm telling you, we got to be like Paul. Paul said, I want to know him. I got to know him for myself. And I want to know and experience the power of his resurrection. Amen. So we see here, Jesus Christ goes on to say, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh, but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that ye might have what? Life, and might have it what? More abundantly. So this is one of the things that you get out of the power of the resurrection. You get abundant life. What is abundant life, Pastor? I studied it out. It's super abundant. It's in the sense of beyond. It's super abundant in quantity. It's superior in quality. You know what I'm saying? It's excessive. You know what I'm saying? It's preeminence. So Jesus Christ said, I come into your life to give you life more abundantly. I believe this is a part of the power of the resurrection. What you're saying, Pastor, what I'm saying is God wants you to have more. He wants you to be super abundant. Amen. He wants you to be superior. Amen. He wants it to be excessive. He wants it to be flowing, overflowing in your life. Amen. Oh, my God. See, let me tell you. It's a problem for most of us because we haven't lived like this in our lives. And we've been working our own thing, and our own thing have not, you know, well, how are we going to get that? See, because we done brought it back down to our intellect. But he says, if you will receive the power of the resurrection, if you understand the power of the resurrection, he says, not only will you have life, you're going to have it more abundantly. Because I come not only to give you life, but I come to give it to you more abundantly. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, men will pour into your bosom. This is the type of, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. What? By Christ Jesus. When he's saying it, it ain't about what you do, it's about what you believe. Amen. He says, believest thou this, you shall never die. You should never die. And if you believe without this, you should never have lack in your life. You're going to have more than enough. You know what I'm saying? Supply running over. Amen. But God, see, when he get it to you, amen, you got to learn how, what, to have it, to hold it, and also to handle it. Amen. And he'll teach you how to do it. See, most of us, we don't know how to hold money. We don't know how to handle money. That's why we don't have it. But if you learn how to have it, handle it and hold on to it, he'll bless you. Amen. I mean, he'll get it to you, I'm telling you. And so I want you to know that he wants you to have abundant life. Somebody say abundant life. Go with me, please, over to Romans. Amen. Got one more scripture after this. Please go with me to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Amen. Me and the teen challenge, we're going to get you out of here. Amen. This word going to undergird you, man. Y'all going back up on that hill. Amen. Say, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You get to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then you got Acts. Amen. And then on the other side of Acts, you got Romans. Romans chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Look with me, please, at verse 20. 6 and 20 here. This is the Apostle Paul speaking with the church at Rome. He's teaching them how to be dead to sin and alive to God. How to be a servant, no longer a servant of sin, but a servant of righteousness. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, you got to have the power of the resurrection, amen, to be able to move from being a servant of sin unto what? The servant, amen, of righteousness, or a servant of God. Let's look at this. Look at look at verse 15. He says, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. He says, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now, what he's saying, he said, now check this out. He says, whoever you yield yourself to, you're going to be a servant thereof. If you yield yourself to the enemy, you're going to be a servant of sin. If you yield yourself to God, you're going to be what? A servant unto righteousness. He said, whoever you yield yourself servant unto. And so you got to make a choice. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy says, this day I lay before you life and death. And I tell you to do what? Choose life. That's why Jesus Christ said the enemy comes what? To steal, kill, and destroy. If you serve him, you're going to serve sin. But if you serve me, amen, you're going to serve obedience and righteousness, and you're going to have life and life more abundantly. Amen. I'm beginning to take a step in my life and say, all right, if things are not adding up, it has everything to do with who I'm obedient to. I can't blame it on the government, my job, my wife, my children, my brothers, my sisters. I can't blame it on anybody. I'm starting to look at me and say, Lord, it's me, oh God. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. I need a checkup from the neck up. That's what I need, amen. I need to get this mind right. I need to let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. I got to get rid of this mind, and I got to gain the mind of Christ if I'm going to be obedient unto him. And I'm here to tell you, that's what Paul was saying. Paul said, look, I've been a slave to this world all my life. He said, I count it all dung for the excellence of the knowledge of knowing him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. What do you think Paul said? Paul said, I want the same thing that kept him. I wanted to keep me, because Paul understood he could not keep himself. He could not keep himself. And I've come to learn in my life, I can't keep myself. I might be able to keep myself from some things, but I can't keep myself from all things. But I know one that can, amen. And he got to sit up in the throne of my heart. I got to know him and the power of his resurrection, amen. See, the devil tried to get me down, but God comes to raise me back up again. He said, now, son, who you going to serve? Because he said, every time you serve that rascal over there, you always fall in a down position. I ain't talking about down on your knees and down, flat out on your back. The boy take you out, he'll knock you out. But when you serve him, you down too. But you're down on your knees and down on your face, amen, worshiping him and serving him. So we see here, look, are you at Romans chapter 6? Let's get through here. Verse 17, he says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. He said, now you obeyed the word. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became what? The servants of righteousness. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. He said, just as you yield yourself to that, yield yourself to God. He said, now you got this word on the inside of you, yield yourself to that word the same way you yielded yourself to the world. Look what he says in verse 20. He says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. He said, you couldn't get the righteousness. Look at verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed of? He said, you're ashamed. He said, what fruit do you have in those things that you're ashamed of? He says, for the end of those things is what? Death. He says, the end of living a life of disobedience or a servant of sin, somebody say, is death. But now you got to add it up. Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. I come to give you life and life more abundantly. So death is nowhere around him. Death is nowhere. But wherever there's sin, there's death in the neighborhood. Because it goes on to say here, look at verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become what? Servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end what? Everlasting life. All right, look, then he goes on and says, look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. I mean, yeah, Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I'm telling you, we got to have this power. We must understand and we must believe in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if you don't believe it, you'll never be able to receive it. You'll never be able to receive the power that rose him up from the dead. And that's what Paul said in his life. Paul was ministering to folks about don't be a servant of sin, but be a servant to righteousness. He said, because not only this, he says, you're going to have not only everlasting life, but you will have eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying unto you today, that if you receive the power of his resurrection, if you believe in who he was, he said, if you believe in me, you shall not die. Not only that, he said, you're going to have abundant life. Somebody say abundant life. Not only would you have abundant life, somebody say eternal life. Somebody say everlasting life. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means, look, it ain't going to end. My life just going to go on and on and on and on. I'm going to live in the spirit. Amen. See, when you talk about eternal and everlasting, there was no beginning and there will be no end. Do you know you was a spirit before you dropped in your mother's womb? Amen. You come in. Look, you came out of what time was not even available. You come into time. Amen. See, your clock ticking right now. Tick, tick, tick. But when you die, you leave time and go back into timelessness. You know what I'm saying? You go back. And the question is, because of sin, because what happened in sin, you had to come into time. Yeah. See, but based on what you do in time, amen, it's gonna have everything to do with what you're going to spend outside of time. There was one resurrection, so you got to receive the power of his resurrection so you'll be ready for what? The second resurrection. And that's the resurrection, amen, of the dead. The resurrection of the just and also the unjust, amen. Everybody going to have to give an account. And I'm here to tell you, if you receive and you understand the power of his resurrection and allow that power to flow in your life, you'll have abundant life, you'll have eternal life, and you'll have everlasting life. You won't be a servant to sin, you'll be a servant unto righteousness, amen? You'll be obedient unto God. We're going one more place and we're out of here. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, I tell you, this is where we're going to end at. Luke 23. Y'all been good. Y'all been good. Y'all been good. I just want to know the power of his resurrection. Oh, I believe that it got up. I believe, look, I believe that it got up. I know that it got up. Well, how do you know that he got up, Pastor? Because I'm saved. You hear what I'm saying? Because, look, I ain't got nobody to convince me of this thing. You ain't got to give me any money. We ain't got to make no alley deal or anything. I know, amen, that he rose again because I got back up again. That devil was standing on my neck. My life was out. They done gave the 8 count on me, brother. You know what I'm saying? It was over with. The way I was living, it was over with. But then I knew about the man from Galilee. do you know the man? Do you know the man? The man from Galilee. I got over there, boy, and when the man of Galilee came into my life, you know what I'm saying? He changed my life. You know what I'm saying? I got a pep in my step. Amen. I got a word in my heart. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God, I'll never be speechless again another day in my life. The devil will set you up, and he'll shut you down. But when you got Christ living on the inside of you, you can stand up and tell the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, don't be ashamed of the gospel, amen. It's the good news, amen. Luke chapter 23. I like this. I wanted to end here because I was reading this, and it just dealt with my heart. Because we're living in a time. Where we at? Luke 23. Let's look, pick up in verse. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Amen. Let's pick up at verse 32. We'll start at 32. This is Jesus Christ. He's on the cross. And he got two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left hand side. And I want you to see the attitude that the people had when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was on the cross. And we're going to find ourselves somewhere in here. See, because before we came to him, if the enemy was leading our life, he says what? He says, the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Before you got saved, you was a thief. Yeah. A stealer. A killer. Yeah. A destroyer. You might not want to own up to it. And if you're here today, you don't have Jesus in your life, you're a stealer. You're a killer, you're a thief, and a robber. He said, the thief and the robber come up another way, but I'm the door, and they that come through the door, amen, they can go, and I'm the sheep of the shepherd, amen. But we don't want to be thieves. We don't want to. That's not. Now he said, because I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen. We're abundant people. Amen. We're eternal people. We're everlasting. We got everlasting life, eternal life, and abundant life. That's who we are. But what I want you to understand that as we walk out of here with this power of the resurrection, understanding who we are in Christ, there's a lost, dying world out there. And there's going to be some people that don't believe in the resurrection. But I believe it's going to be one like this thief was right here. He said, he looked at the Lord. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You hear what I'm saying? Woo, I'm so glad that he remembered me. When he died on that cross, I wasn't even born. But you know what? I thank God that he remembered me. Amen. I don't know about you, but he got me. Amen. He got me. I came into the kingdom. Amen. Now look what it says in verse 32. He says, and there were also two other malefactors. Somebody say thieves. Wrongdoers, evildoers, criminals. Now they said there was also two other. So they had Jesus Christ. They looked at him as being a criminal, a thief, an evildoer, and a wrongdoer. Jesus Christ said, all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. What I'm saying to you, people, as a Christian in the day that we're living in, they're going to look at you like a criminal. They're going to look at you like a thief. They're going to look at you like a wrongdoer and an evildoer. Look at verse 33. It says, and when they would come to the place, which is called, somebody say, Calvary. Amen. Calvary, that's where they nailed him to the cross. There they what? Crucified him and the malefactors or the criminals on one on the right hand and one on the left. So Jesus Christ was there. He had one on the right, one on the left. They all up on the cross, all known as criminals. And look at verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment with lots. So you see what he's saying here? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those soldiers. He's talking about those people that put him on that crown. Now look what it goes on to say here. Verse 35. And the people stood beholding. So there was all kind of people that were standing around. Look what it says. And the rulers also with them, somebody say, derided him. They began to speak bad about him, talk about him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen God. You hear what they were saying? Well, if he is who he say he is, let him save himself. So you got to understand that he had to die. He had to die. Why? For you and me. He had to die so he can rise again. Amen. So that we could get back up. Amen. He had to get back up so we could get back up. Amen. He had to go die. So he hung there. Amen. With his mouth quiet. Look what it says in verse 36. It says, and the soldiers. So you got the people standing around and the rulers, they derided him. And the soldiers, somebody say, and the soldiers, they also what? Mocked him. Coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save yourself. Can you see what's going on? They say, now, if he is who he say he is, he'll save himself. Not only was the rulers acting like this, but the soldiers was also acting like this. Now look what it goes on to say here in verse 37. It says, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of the Greek and the Latin and the Hebrew saying, what? This is what? The king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, this is the, now there's one thing. There's one thing when the people down on the ground and them put you up there talking about you. There's another thing when people in the same predicament that you are talking about you. Oh, you know, yeah, that's how it is, ain't it? You know, you thought you would be having somebody down with you because you're going through similar things. You know, some people come together because they go through similar things, but it's real bad when somebody going through what you're going through and they don't even trust you. They don't even want to say, if you who are you say you here, you get out of your situation. Now look what he says here. He says, verse 39, and one of the malefactors said, were hanged, railed, he did what? Railed on him. So he done got derided. He done got mocked. Now one of these other thieves up there, they railed on him saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and what? And us. You got the mitigated God to tell me to, if I am who I am, to save yourself and save us. Don't forget about us too. I got to give it to him. You know what I'm saying? Well, you can't talk junk about him and then ask him. You can't rail on him and then ask him to save you. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? But you're going to see. You're going to see how this thing going to wind down. Look at verse 40. But the other one answering rebuked him. Who did he rebuke? He didn't rebuke Jesus. He rebuked that fool that was over there on the other side of Jesus. He said, you knucklehead. What are you talking about?
And look what he says. He says, but the other answered, rebuking him, saying, doeth not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? He said, don't you fear God like he does? We're in the same situation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man haven't done anything amiss. What he's saying is, he's looking at those three up there. He said, man, shut your mouth. We all in the same condition, but the only difference is we deserve what we getting. He ain't done anything wrong. See, this is what we got to assess in our life. He ain't done anything wrong. See, we can look at other people and say, oh, yeah, they did that wrong. They did that wrong. Yeah. I ain't going to trust them because they that way. They didn't speak to me this week. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. But when it comes to Jesus, the Bible says, and this old thief said, he didn't do anything wrong. Amen. Oh my God. Can you reflect? I know I can reflect back in my life and not just reflect, but I can still say today, he ain't did anything wrong. You hear what I'm saying? Can you go out of here today and tell somebody about Jesus? And look, all you got to tell them is, look, y'all can say what y'all want to say, but I know he ain't did anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? He ain't did anything. And so when you know that he hadn't did anything wrong, you can go to someone that's right. You hear what I'm saying? When you ain't right, you can go to the right one. Amen. And he is the right one. It goes on to say here, look what he says. He says, verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, look how he answered. He says, Lord. He didn't just say Jesus, Savior, Christ. He says, Lord. He says, Lord. He received him as a Lord. You know, I've always told you in the house, see, you get saved, but you crown him as Lord. You got to crown him as Lord. This man came into a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Amen. Right up here on Calvary. Right up on Calvary. He said, I'm a thief. Yeah, we thieves, brother. We deserve everything that we are getting. We are thieves up here. But this man hadn't done anything. Really not watch over his word to perform it, amen? Yeah. Jesus Christ is going to do what he said he was going to do. And so I believe this man had got whiff of this Jesus. He's standing up on here and said, man, this is that they got a sign of, he's the king of the Jews, amen? He is the king, amen, of the Jews, amen? And so he's looking here, and he had an override of his mind. He said, I ain't going to let my mind keep me in this predicament here. I'm not going to let my thinking keep me in this predicament right here. I know it don't feel right. I know this ain't even, I'm up here a thief. I'm guilty as charged. I'm guilty. But I'm getting ready to override my mind because I know one that is going to claim me to be innocent. And his name is Jesus. And I'm going to receive him as my Lord. Look what he says here. This is what he says. He says, verse 42, and he said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou cometh into thy kingdom. Look what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me where? In paradise. What you saying, Pastor? It ain't going to take all week. It ain't going to take a long time for me to straighten this thing out. If you ask, you shall receive. That man put his faith out there. I think he was bankrupt. He said, look, what I got to lose? I'm putting it all out. I ain't going to be like this other food over there. I'm putting all my chips on Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I just ask you one thing. I call you not only Jesus, but I call you Lord. And I say, Lord, just one thing. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Boy, I believe Jesus. Look, Jesus looked over there. He said, look, what you talking about? I look, he getting ready to give up the ghost. This is before he gave up the ghost. He looked over there, that guy, I mean, you know, looking how he was, and he looked over there and he said, today, not next week, next month, but today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Amen. You hear that? Hallelujah. How many of us that would die today and can say today, I'm going to be with him in paradise. Well, what you saying, Pastor? When you experience the power of the resurrection, you can be in paradise to not when the second resurrection, but I said what? See, this is what the power of the resurrection is about. It's for me to step into my paradise when? And that paradise is not here in the earth. So what you're saying, Pastor, God is saying today unto us, we got to get off of this system, off of this world. He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Anybody love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. What he's saying, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. You got to get off of this world system and step on into paradise. Oh, my God. I double dare you to go look at what Paul said. I said it earlier. I'm not going to go there for the lack of about time. But Paul said, look, this was before. See, the resurrection of the dead ain't came yet. But Paul said, I knew a man. It was Paul. Said, I stepped off into that thing, man. And I seen some things. He said that was too high for me. And then he said he was dealing with some things. And he asked God. He said, I asked him 3 times to remove it. He, because of the relation that he has seen and the insight that God had given him, that thing blew his mind. He said, but nah, something given to me. Yeah, he said, nah, you know, he was one that he had limped the rest of his life. It was given to him to keep him humble through the revelation of knowledge that he's seen. What you saying, Pastor? This is why Paul was saying, all that I had received from this world did not match up to what God wanted to reveal unto me. I'm telling you. Let this be your testimony today. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And this is what you got to understand. He's already come into his kingdom. And he says, today you will be with me in paradise. What you saying, Pastor? Abundant life. Everlasting life. And eternal life. What you saying, Pastor? It's time to start living like we in paradise. On a whole nother level, a whole nother degree. You know what I'm saying? A whole nother measure. This is what God is saying to us. We're living in the time. It ain't the time for the church to be hiding in rocks and covered up. Now it's the time for us to stand tall with all things under our feet. He is the head and we are the body and he has everything. And if he is in charge of paradise, see, this is why everything he said was this. Believe it thou this. And you know what belief has to deal with? Is your faith. He didn't say do. He said, I just want you to believe it. Believe. And if you believe, you can experience paradise today. This is what the resurrection is about. It's about experiencing paradise today. Not in the sweet by and by. I know the roads are paved with gold and you got your mansion in the sky. But I don't want to leave out of here just, oh, I can't wait till I get to heaven. This is what faith does. I'm going to close with this. Faith brings heaven to the earth. Faith will bring your future to the present. That's what faith will do. If you just believe, it'll bring the supernatural into the natural. Who needs to be healed? Why we got to wait next week in the sweet by and by? It can happen today. It could happen today if you just release your faith. Let us all stand to our feet.